The long-simmering dispute between Honolulu's taxi companies and ride-sharing services Uber and Lyft came to a head yesterday with Mayor Kirk Caldwell's veto of Bill 35, a measure that would have regulated so-called surge pricing by ride-sharing companies and made them subject to increased regulation. Here's what the mayor said at his news conference.
The council now has twice approached this issue and tried to find a way through it where the old technology could maybe exist along with the new ride-sharing technology. And how do we find that balance? And unfortunately, I believe that the bill that they passed, Bill 35, does not find that balance. And so I'm going to be vetoing that bill. I'm going to sit here and veto it in front of all of you. I'm doing this partly to continue the discussion as we move forward into the 21st century, to not look backwards to the past and say, how do we protect it? But how do we continue to move forward using technology to better serve and meet all of our needs? I've asked Donna Leong, our corporation counsel, to draft a bill that we'll be sending down to the council in the next few days that will level the playing field and allow transportation companies to do whatever they want as long as there's disclosure and as long as the public is protected. And then the public can make that choice that they want as to whether they want to get into a traditional taxi cab or into a ride-sharing company. And I wanted to talk about this a little bit more. You know, for me, it is about leveling the playing field for all private transportation companies. Whatever your model is, we want to let you operate in the fairest way possible. But we want to protect consumers. And that means, one, the vehicle is inspected, but more importantly, that the driver has been vetted, that there's been a background check, there's been a national background check, that it goes back 7 years, so that you know that your daughter or your wife or your grandmother, when they get into one of these types of vehicles, that you know the driver's been vetted as much as possible. And then we're going to look at two different models that you can work, that this bill will talk about. One is an end of ride, which is your traditional taxi cab, where you pay at the end of the ride, where Sherry Kajiwara, who's here, would be setting the maximum per mile fare. So you know when you get in, this is the maximum you're going to pay. And the other way is the flat rate pricing that you know in advance before you get into the vehicle. And we're going to allow taxi cabs to do that too. So you could be a Uber Lyft type model, or you'd be a taxi cab model. And as long as you disclose upfront what the end ride fare is going to be, you can operate under that model.
We asked Uber's representative to speak on our program. The company sent us this written statement from Tabitha Chow, Uber's senior operations manager for Hawaii. Quote, Mayor Caldwell's veto protects consumer choice and earning opportunities on Oahu. We look forward to continuing to serve our community. To get the cab company's reaction, we spoke earlier this morning with Howard Higa, CEO of the cab.
This is not an issue between taxis or ride-sharing companies. This was a bill really set up for the consumer protection and safety. For example, this bill basically had four things in it. One was basically for medical checks for the drivers. We always felt that, you know, you can't have a driver that's medically not fit to be driving around passengers, whether he's a cancer patient or if he's a real bad diabetic or even on dialysis. And we've heard testimonies from some of these drivers that are on dialysis, that are cancer patients, that have bad diabetes. And to their admission, they've actually fainted. And I'm saying, well, that's the reason why we're pushing to have medical checks. It's not against a ride-sharing company, but this is for a betterment of the industry. The second thing was we talked about is on this bill is vehicle markings. If there is no vehicle markings on the cars, how can there be any enforcement? Because if they have no commercial markings on this thing, whether they're an Uber car or a Lyft car, how does HPD know that they're in violation of anything? They're just another car passing by, like another resident. So we always felt that if you're going to be a commercial driver, you should have some sort of markings on that thing. So at least the law enforcement can say, okay, you're not parked in the right area or you get ticketed. Taxi cabs, for example, have domes. They also have vehicle markings. So it's easy for the HPD to say, okay, listen, cab 445 or whatever the markings is, you're illegal and we can catch you and we can go to the database and find out who you really are. So we have that. The second thing is the third thing is the database. We always pushed to have the city at one time, for all these years, for 50 years, the city always did have a database for all the taxi drivers. This past year, they took that all away. They said, we're not going to deal with that. That's not our responsibility. So the database is to be held by the individual cab companies. And they even made it easier. It says, you know what? If you have more than two cabs, taxis, you can have your own company. Just pay us $1,000 registration fee, and you can have ABC Taxi. And I'll tell you what, on top of that, you do all your background checks. You do all your testing. You do all your English exams. You do all your database. You keep your database. And some people may have on flashcards on their database. They're scattered all over the place. There is no comprehensive database that the city has right now.
Essentially, what you're saying is that you, as a taxi company, are held to a higher standard.
I believe we are held to the highest standard, probably one of the highest in the United States.
And you want that to continue?
We want it to continue. And there's a reason why these lawmakers, for 50 years, always had huge regulations, rules and regulations on taxi companies, because it's for the consumer protection. We have never, as an industry, and we are the largest in town, so I know this, but we have never pushed back and said we want lesser regulations. And I did talk to the mayor about this, and I said, you know, we need to level the playing field for any incoming company coming into the transportation industry here. We need to maintain the same regulations and the same protection that the city has had for 50 years.
Isn't the mayor using some of that same language, leveling the playing field, with this sort of middle path proposal of having you folks, you taxi companies, adopt some of the same methods as the ride-sharing companies?
Well, I understand that too, but we have a different modus operandi. Our business model does not do that. You cannot have a Chinese restaurant do what McDonald's does, for example. They're not equipped for it. We're not equipped for it. We don't have an application, for example, the algorithms that the ride-sharing companies use, at a click of a finger, that we can make fares rise to two times or three times the fare. Our business model was built on the basics of taxis. So you cannot turn a taxi into a ride-sharing company, and that's what the mayor wants to do. That's impossible. We don't have the infrastructure for that. Why wouldn't these rideshare companies come in, and the mayor says, well, why don't you operate like a taxi and force that on them? And they're saying, oh, that's just old-fashioned. We have been around for over 50 years, and there's nothing wrong. The old saying goes, if it's not broke, don't try and fix it.
Well, that's the argument that the ride-sharing companies use to advance their business model. We are cheaper. We are more effective. We're faster. We can take out my phone and find out where the car is, and they'll tell me it'll be with me in 3 minutes, even show me the path that car is taking. Wouldn't that be advantageous to you?
Well, no. What the thing is that why would we change our model if, number one, at the end of the day, if you calculate the surge pricing and let's say there's supposedly lower fares, you add that together and do quick math and get an average, and I'll guarantee you they're probably as much as taxis or even more when you throw in their type of calculations. It just seems like they're cheaper, but if you throw in their surge pricing and you throw in their regular fares and you add them together and divide it by two, you're going to find out that they might be higher than taxis. And that's debatable, and I understand that. The second thing is that the mayor uses quote about taking surge pricing is it eliminates a 45-minute wait. I said, I've been in this business for over 20 years. The cab, if it's going to take 45 minutes, he just doesn't show up. You know, and that never really happens. As a matter of fact, because of our GPS things, we get there before the customer is even ready. So he'll pick up the phone, and through GPS, if anybody understands what GPS is, it'll ping the nearest cab in the block. So, for example, if the guy calls and he's in, let's say he's in Mililani, wherever he is, and that cab happens to be right there, he could be there in a half a minute.
Howard, what would you like to see happen? You know, ride-sharing companies aren't going to pack up and go away, and you don't want to pack up and go away. You're concerned about this middle path the mayor has offered. What would you like to see happen here?
Well, I agree. As a matter of fact, I think the ride-sharing idea is great. I think it's a good model, and it's another option for transportation.
You can coexist?
I that's what I always wanted to do. I have talked to Uber. I've talked to the Lyft people. And I believe that they're not going to go away. And I don't believe we are going to go away. So the only way we can operate in this town together is we need to come up with ideas that we can coexist.
Howard Higa is the president and CEO of the CAB. We should note that he's also a member of the Hawaii Public Radio Board.